Let's start again. From
okay,
my
okay,
point of view, I need to complete
okay,
the formalities.
if you give me, it's going to take, I don't know, 7-10 minutes at the longest to do this. You will do his bit, then you can do your bit. That is the quickest way to get through. If you're going to keep interrupting me with trying to get your point across, then we're not going to get anywhere. Let me just say these things. We've got it on, it's recorded, then you know what's going on. And he's going to say his things, then you can do your thing. Is that fair? Okay.
I just want to ask one question. Do you make a recommendation after your investigation?
In this case, no. I will forward it to the prosecutor, and he will decide on whether there's merit
so
or not.
But you don't give any sort of advice or...
Well, I don't know where we're going, and I don't know where...
No, no, I'm saying after we've completed this conversation...
I can make a recommendation.
You can make a
I might decide not to.
Yes.
And then, but it's the prosecutor...
No, no, I understand he has the final say, but obviously your input is valuable to them because the prosecutor has not interacted with us.
No, but the prosecutor, this docket will now be forwarded.
Yes.
To either the Specialized Commercial Crimes Unit or to the Director of Public Prosecutions in Cape Town, who will appoint the prosecutor. The prosecutor will peruse the docket, and he will decide whether there needs to be further investigation, where he will then basically give instructions to the investigating officer to cover this, that, that, and the other, or not. Or he will say, right, there is a case, or no, there is not a case. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and then obviously I will come back to you to keep you informed of what the status is.
All right, let's carry on. Okay, so first of all, first point, this is a courtesy visit by Mr. Goodson and myself. We don't need to be here. This claim is of no consequence to Mr. Goodson because there is no claim. We'll show you later on. If at any time we feel the interview is becoming uncomfortable, we will leave. We'll pack our stuff and go. Mr. Goodson does not feel comfortable with this meeting at all. There is a massive amount of evidence of police intimidation, harassment, violence, assault, robbery, theft, and too many criminal activities to mention out in the public domain to feel comfortable under these circumstances. So we are not comfortable sitting here talking to you because of historic events. There is proof of police involvement in robberies and evidence of crimes by banks. This is perpetrated by the banks. This evidence stored on computers, disks, and hard drives was stolen by police officers who drove police vehicles. The fact that you, Mr. Schultz, told Mr. Goodson that you are not going to arrest him is an intimidation tactic. There are laws against intimidation and harassment. There exists no prima facie evidence of your claim against Mr. Goodson. There is no evidence that he's committed any crime of any kind whatsoever. The mere fact that you haven't read the book.
Yeah, have you read my book?
How can investigate
let us. I mean, are you now? It's now a question and answering session.
Okay.
Please just
let me carry on. If you wrongfully arrest Mr. Goodson, a claim of wrongful arrest will be lodged against the Minister of Police and all officers involved, and they will be sued. There is no claim against Mr. Goodson, and this is not a criminal matter. It is a civil matter. SAPS has no jurisdiction. It is also an abuse of process. This will be brought to the attention of your superiors and the commissioner if you continue to harass Mr. Goodson. The Reserve Bank was foreclosed on 25 December 2012 through the UCC process by the OPPT. They are a non-entity. They are not allowed to do any more business. They are not allowed to go to the police to lay charges. They are busy with fraudulent activity. All government departments and every single police station have been informed of the OPPT UCC foreclosures. I don't know if you got the information, Mr. Schultz. What you are doing now is unlawful. The Reserve Bank has no business claiming anything from anyone. They have been foreclosed. What needs to happen is the following. You need to investigate the massive theft, fraud, and mass financial destruction of South Africa perpetrated by the Reserve Bank. The Reserve Bank is directly responsible for the state of the country. It is stealing from you, me, your family, and friends. I'm done. Mr. Goodson, please say what you need to say.
Yeah. As Mr. Rasmus said, we have a great problem being in your presence. And I have absolutely no integrity in the South African Police Service. As you know, your previous commissioner, he was fired of being involved of criminal activity in property deals worth 1.7 billion rands. His predecessor, Jackie Salibi, was sent to prison for 15 years. So you have a very corrupt organization. And obviously, this corruption percolates right through it. So you really, I'm sorry to say this, but I believe you have no, not personally, I'm not talking about you personally, but as an organization, you lack integrity. And you are now being used by the Reserve Bank. I believe that when you were tested as a policeman, you were born in 1964, I presume it was, 1978, somewhere around there, you took an oath. You remember taking an oath?
Yes, just say what you want to
say. Yeah, okay. You took an oath that you would be a peacekeeper, that you would keep the peace. Am I correct in saying that? I mean, I don't want to impute things that are not true.
Yes, I confirm that I'm a police officer.
Yeah.
I hold the rank of colonel, that I did appoint you, did show you my appointment certificate.
Yes.
Okay. And that I'm an officer of the law, and that I was investigating a contravention of Section 33 of the Reserve Bank
Okay.
Act.
Right.
Okay, so this is now in reply to that. I've also informed you of your rights, not to self-incriminate yourself. You don't have to answer questions. You have the right to legal. So, and we've now moved on from there. So, yes, I am a police officer. I did identify myself as such.
So you're a peacekeeper, and you're one of your mottos of arms is that you are there to serve the people. And you are there to keep the peace. So it seems you are saying that I breached the peace. But we'll come back to that.
We're talking about the statutory convention.
No, it's not a statutory.
The South African Reserve Bank.
No, you're mistaken. I'm going to come back to that. But now I want to ask you a question. Am I a suspect of a crime?
Yes, sir. That is why I requested this meeting with you.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. You've told me. Now I want to know is it a crime to tell the truth? Please answer. Is it a crime to tell the truth?
Well, sir, that is a legal question which has to be determined by the prosecutors. By the prosecutors, because if it is a statutory convention, and
I asked you a question: is it a crime to tell the truth? Please answer me. Is it a crime?
If you're not allowed to tell it, it may be.
Oh, please! And if the truth is a crime, that is my second question. Is it a crime to expose crime? Is it a crime to expose crime?
It is a good thing.
You agree with me?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
So what are we doing here?
So why am I here? If I've exposed crime, why am I here?
You are here because a complaint was laid.
A false complaint.
The complaint by the
who laid that complaint? Who signed that document?
Charge.
I mean, it can't be just a Reserve Bank. Someone
Reserve
must have signed
Bank
it
is
all.
An entity, it's not a person.
Who signed it all?
No, it's a senior official of the Reserve Bank that laid a criminal complaint on
Can you give me his name? Dr. De Jaffa, was it?
Yeah, he was Dr. De Jaffa.
Yeah, Dr.
Yes,
De Jaffa.
It was.
Okay, all right.
All right. So, but just to continue with that, okay? So, and the allegation or the charges that were laid, okay, are that you contravened the secrecy clause of the Reserve Bank Act in that you conveyed information obtained during your dealings, business dealings with the bank and or the meetings that you attended as a director, as you were, of the South African Reserve Bank, by way of communicating it to other parties outside of the bank, by giving interviews, a radio station, I think, and by publishing the book, the book called Inside the Reserve Bank, Its Secrets and Whatever Review. So that is that. I need to get, if you want to give me an explanation, which you're not obliged to, your side of the story, I take it to a prosecutor.
Yes.
And the prosecutors are ultimately the people who decide whether there are merits in a case, yes or no. So that is all that I'm doing here.
Yeah, all right. So now, I want to ask you another. Do whistleblowers have a role in society?
Yes, sir, they do. But, you know, I don't think this is going to take us any further.
I think it will take us further.
It will.
I'm a whistleblower. Do you know what a whistleblower is?
I know what a whistleblower is.
So I'm going to prove to you I'm a whistleblower. All right. Now, we have, as I said, I mentioned with the, I didn't trust the police force. We even have a head of state. You know, Mr. Zuma? Do you know how many criminal charges he has outstanding against him?
I think it's, I mean, we all read the papers and the press, but that has got nothing
to do with it. No, no, it is very relevant to the society we're living in, that we have a criminal at the head of the state, and now you are trying to accuse me of being a criminal.
Sir?
He has 740 charges outstanding against him. He is the head of state.
Yes.
And
this is not the correct forum, and I'm not yet to argue that with you.
It's relevant to the fact that you are accusing me of a crime.
Mr. Shills, have the ability to go and do your homework, do your research, do your investigation, because that is what you do. And you look like a man, you can do a job, and you can go and look into the criminals that are fucking up this country. They are fucking up this country, Mr. Shills. And people like you and me are the only ones that can turn things around. And it's happening. Believe you me, I am part of a group of people globally that have made lists of fraudulent judges, government officials, and we are dealing with them on a daily basis. They are being arrested, Mr. Shills. They are being arrested as you sit here talking. You can watch the news. You see that the truth is starting to come out. People are being arrested more and more. It's going to become a landslide one of these days because there are big things happening behind the scenes. Big things. And this today here, you have an opportunity to actually do the right thing and go and investigate the real criminals. Because if you go read his book, you will see the evidence of the people that is working in the Reserve Bank that told you to come and intimidate and harass Mr. Goodson here. They are the people that are the criminals. They are the people that are stealing billions from us on a monthly basis.
Yes, I just want to put on record, I wasn't instructed to intimidate or bully or anything like that.
That is what
I was not instructed
to
do that.
You weren't, but that is their modus operandi.
They're using you. Right. They're using you to intimidate me.
But I think...
I feel sorry for you because you've got a job to do.
Mr. Goodson, what else would you like to add without interviewing me?
All right. Okay. Well, I want to mention that I told you that now that we have a criminal as president. The previous president... No, the one before him, de Klerk, he's also a criminal. And are you aware that there was a man, a Frenchman, Honoré de Balzac, who once said, behind every fortune stands a great crime. Do you know what Mr. de Klerk's fortune is? He has 12 billion rand in a Liechtenstein bank account. Where did he get that money from?
This is money from the people of South Africa.
He stole that money.
12 billion. Do you know how much that is?
Oh, okay, well, let me just carry on. Next point I raise here is the Constitution. You are aware that in this country we have freedom of speech. You know that. It's an entrenched clause. And I just want to read it to you just to refresh your memory so that you know that what I have done is not illegal. This is Section 16, Subsection 1. Everyone has the right to freedom of expression, which includes A, freedom of the press and other media, like my radio interviews.
And the book that you wrote?
Yes. B, freedom to receive or impart information or ideas. Freedom of artistic creativity. Academic freedom and freedom of scientific research. So I have freedom of expression. Do you agree with this, that this is part of the Constitution?
I agree with the Constitution. I think it's a very good and sound Constitution.
There are the flaws, but we won't go into that now. Section 33. Now, if you read Section 33, this is important. It says here, no director, officer, or employee of the bank, and no officer of the Department of Finance shall disclose to any person except the Minister or Director General of Finance the purpose of his or his exercise, his or function, or in required to do so from a court or any law, any information related to the affairs of the bank. No director. Am I a director of the South African Reserve Bank?
It's not a director.
Am I a director of the South African Reserve Bank?
You are not. I believe you were one.
This is no past tense here. This is only present. No director. And furthermore, I was
you
not...
You have to be a director to fall under that clause.
Yes, so I don't fall under the clause. You must get that right. Second thing is, I am not a director. I was not a director. Do you know what I was? I was an independent
non-executive director. It doesn't state that here. And that is as I was appointed.
He was a consultant to the bank. He's not employed by the
bank. I was never employed. So I'm not governed by the rules of the bank. And let me tell you that when I was at the bank, I had the right to access any information I wanted to because I was independent. And the bank couldn't fire me after I signed the contract. Now I want to bring something else to your attention. This is the letter of appointment that I received from the bank. And it's dated the 27th of August, 2003. It says, appointment to the board of directors of the South African Reserve Bank as Shell's representative. I have pleasure in informing you that in accordance with Section 43A, read in conjunction with Regulation 34 of the regulations framed in terms of Section 36 of the South African Reserve Bank Act, Act No. 90 of 1989, shareholders at the ordinary general meeting held on 26 August 2003 elected you to the board as a shareholder's representative. Your aforementioned appointment is effective from today for a period of 3 years. I personally wish to congratulate you on your appointment and advise that the office of the secretary of the bank will be in contact with you shortly. In the interim, I advise for purpose of assisting you with your forward planning that the next meeting of the board is scheduled to take place in Pretoria at 9 a.m. on Friday the 14th of November 2003, yours sincerely, Titi Imbaweni. This is the letter I received. This is my letter of appointment. Yes. Now, where does it state that there is a secrecy clause that I may not disclose anything? This is my letter of appointment. All right. Can you just record that in your...
That is recorded. I mean, we are both recording this.
Yes.
So...
No, in your deliberations, that there was no... I was never informed of any secrecy clause. And that this secrecy clause applies to existing staff
directors,
not past. It doesn't state. And on that point of law, you haven't got a hope of getting this past the prosecutor. But let's come to another point.
I think that is for the prosecutor to decide, because that is why that's his job. My job is to gather the facts, and his job is to make a decision
right.
on the law.
Now,
that's why I say Section 33 is irrelevant. Now, there's another thing. What if I'm exposing criminal activity?
Am I not? What are you going to do about it?
What does that section say now? Am I forbidden to expose criminal activity? This is a serious question. Does Section 33 say you may not disclose to any other person criminal activity?
Section 33, to my recollection, does not state that.
Correct.
You've got that with you. You know exactly what
it
says.
Yes, it doesn't state that.
Yeah.
So, what are you here for? Please.
That's fine. Right. I think, you know, let's conclude the
interview. No. I'm going to carry my last few points, please.
Okay. All right.
Some of the criminal activity, and I'm sorry that you haven't read the book, because, I mean, this is...
It's a mind opener.
This is a part and parcel of your whole investigation. If you haven't read what I have said...
Why are you investigating?
I've never said I didn't read the book.
Have you read the book?
You never gave me... But you started asking me questions.
All right.
Don't bring this the wrong way around. The book is in here.
Okay.
It's in here.
All right. Now, you're aware in the book I mentioned that... I haven't mentioned the book, so I think we need to record this. In 1989, the Reserve Bank Act was... I believe you.
There's the book.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Now, in 1989, the Reserve Bank Act was amended. The first act was the Banking and Currency Act of 1920, and the second was the South African Reserve Bank Act of 1944. The two previous acts do not have a secrecy clause. So why was a secrecy clause suddenly introduced in 1989? I will tell you why. During the 1980s, the Reserve Bank was alienated. The South Africa had a strategic gold reserve, it wasn't reflected in the statements, at Kloten Airport in Zurich. This gold was transferred to America to help out insolvent banks, Citibank, JP Morgan, and was part of a scheme called Operation Hammer. And this, by the way, you can look this up. It's on the internet. I suggest you write it down, Operation Hammer. You need to know about this. And Chris Doss, who drafted the 1989 legislation, put that secrecy clause in to cover up the heist that was going on, the theft. That's why we have a secrecy clause. We lost 3,000 tons. What is 3,000 tons of gold worth? Do you know, Mr. Schultz? Have you any idea what it's worth?
It's a lot of money.
2 trillion rands. That is why we had a secrecy clause. Now,
I just need to explain to you how the legal system works. There seems to be some confusion here with you and the Reserve Bank. You know, we've got what we call the common law. That's like your law of persons, your law of interstate succession, the law of property, law of contract, law of dealings. That's your common law. Then you've got constitutional, which is a little bit smaller, and then you've got your criminal law. Now, this is not a criminal matter, and I'll explain to you why. It's a civil matter because the Reserve Bank, you haven't explained to me what is the Reserve Bank? Is the Reserve Bank part of government, in your estimation?
Don't duck this stuff. You're not going to duck this one. No. Is it part of government?
I'm actually going to stop the interview now because I'm not here to answer your questions. I'm here to see whether you want to give me an explanation.
I want you to,
as an investigator,
I want you to understand. I want you to understand what is at stake. You don't seem to know about these things.
You are starting to interrogate me.
I'm not interrogating you.
I am terminating this.
No, we're going to finish it first. We're finishing it.
Now I'm finished.
I want to mention that there were two, that at the World Bank, Karen Hoos, she was a whistleblower. She broke the secrecy code. She reported improper accounting, corruption, criminal behavior, and no action was taken. Then there was Greg Smith, vice president of Goldman Sachs. He wrote a book, Why I Left Goldman Sachs. And he reported on unethical behavior, ripping off of clients, mortgage-backed securities fraud, and no action was taken. I believe, Mr. Schulz, there is absolutely no case to answer. This is a civil matter. The bank is no locus standi in judicio in this matter. It's using you to sort out a civil matter between myself and the bank. It is not a criminal matter. I have not stolen from the bank. I have not defrauded the bank. They are trying to cover up their criminal activities by attacking me, and they're using you. All right.
Mr. Schulz.
Thank you.
We feel sorry that you're in this situation, but honestly, think about this.
That's fine, but I've already explained to you at length. I've allowed you to put
thank you to very me much. What we you want to.
I don't think it's going to
it's not going to go
add
anywhere
value or go any further
it's
from
it's not
going
to go anywhere because there's no case.
So, that's it. Mr. Goodson has given his explanation. Okay, it's not in writing. But it is fine.
Okay, we've got to thank you. Thank you for your time. You are within a unit that's supposed to investigate these big crimes.
So if you want to lay a complaint, okay, you do so in writing by way of an affidavit.
It's not going to help because
at the police station. Okay. And then that will ask them to forward
it. Mr. Schulz, you know that's it. It's not going to go anywhere. Thank you very much for your time.
And the time right now is 10 o'clock. Just give or take a minute.
Okay. All right, let's go.